Sam Speck with you here live from our KGGF studios, continuing our talks with the K-State Extension District. We've got Jerry Nelson and James Coover in studios with us. And yes, James Coover is a new one along with us. Happy to have you with us, James, and happy to have you guys back. So, Jerry, I know there was, everybody's got it on their mind. And if you don't, here's some events that you might be able to see at the State Fair that's coming up here. When is it happening, actually, first of all?
Yeah, the Kansas State Fair starts Friday.
Okay.
This Friday, yes. And a couple of us 4-H agents will be taking some 4-H exhibits out. The kids, we have photography, foods, arts and crafts, you name it, we've got stuff. I've got electric projects and food preservation and all kinds of projects that'll be headed out there. And so folks can head out there and check out any of the local exhibits that kids have taken out. And plus, these are the top exhibits from all across the state will be there. So there's some really great exhibits. And plus, this weekend in particular are the 4-H and FFA livestock shows. So if they've got youngsters that they know that'll be showing livestock out there, those will be going on starting on Friday. So
very cool. Now, is there like a cutoff to submit your livestock or anything, or can you?
Yeah, the livestock entries for the State Fair for the youth show had to be in by July 15th.
Okay, so little while ago.
Yeah, gotcha. And then the open class was August 15th, I believe. So
okay,
so there's
very
all
cool
kinds of livestock shows going on. And then over the weekend, the kids will be giving, 4-H kids will be doing demonstrations and talks that people can stop and watch in the Centennial Hall, which is the 4-H exhibit building. So I'd encourage people to go out and check that out. And it runs through the 16th of September, next weekend, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday and Sunday, the State Dog Show, 4-H Dog Show will be going on. That's always a great time to go watch the kids with their dogs. I know Wilson County has 8 kids going with the for the dog show. So go out, check it out, and see what the kids are doing and what they've learned all year. So
now, where does the State Fair take place? Is it in the Capitol?
No, the State Fair is in Hutchinson.
Yeah, okay, it's in Hutchinson.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's a nice little drive over there, but it's well worth your drive to go over and check out what's that going on out there. I mean, they've got all kinds of great stuff set up, but the 4-H kids always have good stuff set up out there. So
yeah, no reason. And Hutchinson always does a great job, sports in particular, but I'm sure just events overall, hosting events. I mean, they got great facilities up there and things like that. So where is it in Hutchinson? Is it?
It's at the State Fairgrounds.
Okay, so there
which
is
kind of almost right in the middle of town, really. So you can't miss it. They've got all kinds of signs, and it's very well marked for the State Fair. So
very cool. Yeah, and we have some winners from our area heading that way.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
Get to go see them and see how they compare up. And not only that, but see really all of the talent throughout the state of Kansas.
Right. Yes. And I mean, there's some great exhibits out there. So I strongly, and if you're into the space tech projects and stuff, they have tons of rockets. So take your kids out to see all the rockets that the kids have made and stuff.
Very cool. Yeah. We'll get to, I want to hit on that dog show here in a second. But first, for me, I guess I just kind of got to know, what is that one project that you're like, wow, we're bringing that up here from southeastern Kansas?
Well, we've had some of those projects in the past. I've taken some very nice woodworking projects. I think we talked the last time we were here, talked about a rocking chair cradle that a young
That's
man
right.
had made. His sister wouldn't let him send that to the State Fair, but he has another really nice woodworking exhibit we're taking out. So
very cool.
So, but a lot of those exhibits, I mean, if you're into geology, which is the rocks, lots of rocks, there's bug boxes, the kids collect their entomology boxes, so lots and lots of different things that the kids can, people can take in and learn a little something about the projects.
Yeah,
so.
And what was that young man's name that made the cradle?
His name was Adam McCarter.
McCarter, so. How mm-hmm. old is he?
He is 16.
Man, it has those hand skills, woodworking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, that I wish I could have seen it, because I do appreciate a good handsman or woodworking really in general, because mm-hmm. Wood's beautiful if you can shape it correctly and mm-hmm. sand it down. It is, it's kind of. Wow, 16 years old. It's just kind of makes you scratch your head a little bit.
I can't do that.
No.
I'm lucky if I can saw it in a straight line.
Yeah,
I
certainly don't have the patience for that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, very cool. So he's definitely one to stand out. But not only that, you get to see kids from all over the state.
Exactly.
And, mm-hmm. It's not that bad of a drive.
No.
A few hours certainly, but just get yourself out there. So it starts up Friday, and does it last all 7 days, or is it?
It runs from Friday the 7th through Sunday the 16th.
Okay, so yeah, it is even more.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. A lot of fun going on over there at the State Fair. Now, what else, you know, what else is there? Obviously, that was the 4-H.
Yep.
This is, you know, my first year here in Kansas, so what else is happening at the State Fair?
You know, they've got concerts. There's all kinds of, I think they've got some demo derby. There's all kinds of things like that going on. The Land of Kansas building, of course, the butter sculpture. You always have to go check out and see what the butter sculpture is for the year. I have not heard. James, have you heard what the butter sculpture is this year? Yeah, I haven't heard.
Now,
so.
is that what it sounds like? Is someone
it is
making
something
a
sculpted
out of
butter. Yes. And that is a big attraction in the Land of Kansas building.
Give me some examples of like previous years.
There's been a bison.
Oh my goodness.
They've had, let's see, one year I think they had several animals. It was like the State Fair theme was a party. It's Party on the Prairie.
Okay.
So they had like a cow and a pig and a chicken and all kinds of stuff, you know, kind of stacked on each other. I mean, they've had some phenomenal butter sculptures.
And I bet you as a sculptor, you would just love, you know, as odd as it sounds, to sculpt with butter because it's so soft, you know, and it would probably be kind of easy
to
shape
and
to work with. And it's not, you know, I mean, if it gets hot enough, it's certainly going somewhere. But
yeah.
It's not like working on an ice sculpture where it could crack all the way down. So
yeah,
I'm sure those come out to look pretty neat. And
yes.
Is it a lot of butter? Is it?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. I mean, but it's like, I don't know, several hundred pounds of butter.
Really?
I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
So like when you say a bison, is that like full size bison?
Full size bison.
Oh,
yes. Yeah, it was that one was phenomenal. I enjoyed that. You know, of course, over there also you can see the largest crops, the pumpkins, watermelons. I mean, we're talking 300-400 pound pumpkins sometimes. So
holy cow.
So go check them out, see what's going on out there.
Well, we've got a soil master himself. What would you, I mean, in order to pump up those pumpkin sizes, how do you keep your soil? I mean, obviously maybe good watering, obviously maybe a little fertilizer, or what are some tips?
Yeah, so, yeah, watermelons, I mean, it's going to be a lot about the water and having the soil right. And
it's in the name.
And yeah, they have a really deep root. And so to get those pumpkins that big and the watermelons that big, they grow a huge plant and they pick one pumpkin out of all the ones that they could have on that plant and slowly culture that pumpkin. It takes a lot of effort to get the pumpkins that big. They spend time on it. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, it adds to that competition. There's always that competition factor. You get a little competitive. Like you said, you solo out one, and there's got to be one in the bunch that might win one. And I remember my neighbors just got lucky one year. They threw it in their backyard, and hey, had the biggest pumpkin in northern Colorado, or I can't remember what the fair was or whatever it may have been. So yeah, very cool. But aren't they like vines? Aren't, you know, watermelons and pumpkins, don't they grow on a vine?
Yeah, and so they'll spread out from a singular vine coming out of the ground.
Okay, and a watermelon's root is you know, particularly deep, though. It's just kind of what I'm interested. A vine, you normally think of, it just kind of runs across the top of the ground.
Yeah,
compared to as a watermelon, I mean, how deep does it normally go?
That root, I mean, it goes as deep, well, in this soil, as deep as it can get till it gets to bedrock.
Wow.
I mean, it really can go, you know, 10-15 feet, it can get down there that deep. So
yeah,
I would say they normally probably don't. But,
yeah,
but they could.
They certainly could. Yeah, no, I just, you know, I always think a vine, and you never think of anything of it that could come that large. You know, pumpkins, hundreds of pounds, watermelons, hundreds of pounds, and things like that. So cool. So concerts up at the State Fair. We got competitions. I'm sure. Good food. Any good food items that you guys, you know, remember of from the State Fair?
You know, you get all the typical State Fair, you know, fried pickles,
fried
Snickers, fried Twinkies, all of that good stuff. I'm sure they have something new this year that I haven't heard about yet, but, you know, I'm more into just not checking out the fried stuff, so.
Yeah, no, I try and I dip my toes in that a little bit. It's like maybe get a fried Oreo and call it quits, but mm-hmm. if I just keep going, I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just buy 12 or 13 different fried items.
I like the Bloomin' Onions. I do.
Oh, those are delicious. Mm-hmm. Those are good. Those are hard to get away from. So, well, we're speaking with Cherry Nelson and James Coover here with the Wildcat Extension District. Now, James, again, this is day number two for you, first week. Happy to have you along with us. Thanks for coming in again. Now, tell us, you know, if someone has questions about, you know, some soil, someone has further questions for you. I know you've got that expertise and you'd love to expand. How can people get a hold of you? Is there an email? Do you guys have a phone number? Do you work out of that independence office there?
Actually, well, my home office is in Girard, but, okay, you know, my whole area is anywhere in this. And this, so Montgomery, Cherokee, or Montgomery,
Crawford,
Wilson. Okay. Yeah, so really call any of those extension offices and they'll connect you to me.
And they'll get a hold of you. And now, say, you know, for someone, again, just now tuning in or anything like that, what are the kind of questions that they could ask you? What are the, you know, basis? What is your area of expertise? I mean, I know you're a crop soil guy, but what are some specific questions that you kind of receive that you know, you can answer right off the bat?
Yeah, so, I mean, recently, I mean, just in the last 2 days, really, I've been getting a lot of soybean disease questions, but now very soon they'll start to look at wheat planting that's coming up, and they need to start preparing for that. And so they'll need to do a lot of soil sampling and know exactly what's going on, doing some profile sampling, so getting their sulfur and nitrogen and chloride idea of what's going on there. They also need to have their variety selection and picking out which wheat varieties do best with the rust. That's probably going to happen year after year, so.
Yep, and keep that in mind, and, you know, James, it's Coover, that is, C-O-O-V-E-R, with a V, not a B, is a, I don't know if my head cold through the microphone. Sometimes they definitely mask it, but it is C-O-O-V-E-R, that's James Coover. He can help you out with all of those questions in terms as, we're coming up to, I mean, you got to be planting that wheat. When do you normally plant it around?
Here, it's a little later in the month. It depends on whether you're going to graze it or whether it's for you know, crop. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to graze, it's going to be planted a little bit earlier at the end of the month, or it could be in October if it's for grain.
Now, if I can't, you know, again, this isn't my area of expertise. Now, wheat kind of needs rain up front and then a dry back. Does it, or is that incorrect, kind of?
That can be true, yeah. Can be true. And so, I mean, you got to get it germinated. That's the most important part.
And that takes quite a bit of moisture.
Yeah, it takes some moisture, for sure. And then, I mean, it really kind of helps to have some early spring rain to get it out of the ground.
Yeah, and that's kind of what our concern was this year, because we did not have that early spring rain. So hopefully the fall season is a little bit more cooperative. And again, you know, any questions on these, you can contact James Coover at any of these extensions office. Now, Cherry, any final notes from you guys?
For the new 4-H year, will be starting on October 1st. So if you're interested in getting your kids in 4-H, they have to be 7 by the first of the year. Contact one of us and we'd be glad to talk to you. You can contact me at the Wilson County office at 620-378-2167, and we'd be glad to talk to you about getting your kids enrolled in 4-H.
Yeah, no, again, it's a program that I never surrounded myself as a child, but again, I think is incredibly important for a child, and you know, you see it firsthand how beneficial it is it for that kid.
You know, I've been in it long enough that I've watched kids, you know, from start to finish, and I've seen kids that, you know, couldn't get up and talk in front of people, were very shy, nervous about those type of things, to being able to get up in front of a fairly large group and talk to them about their ideas or share with them things that they feel are important, voice their opinions, you know, maybe go to a public forum and stand up and talk about something that they believe in. And I think it's very important for the kids.
Yeah, very cool. Now tell me, you know, obviously you guys have a lot of trips. You take them from point A to point B. Is there a cost to it? Is it?
There is a program fee that the kids are required to pay. It's $15, and that's for the year. Some projects, of course, will have other costs associated. You know, if you're in a livestock project, you're going to have a lot of cost associated with that. But, you know, some of the projects have minimal costs. Some have more costs than others. So
certainly. Well, tell me, you know, again, just if you've got a kid out there, how can we sign them up for 4-H?
Yeah, 4-H, like I said, just contact any of the extension office. We can get you the information. All 4-H enrollment is done online. So if you contact one of our offices, we'll be glad to get you hooked up with that. So.
All right, good stuff. That's Cherry Nelson and James Coover. Thanks to you you guys stepping in here on this Wednesday. I'm not sure if it'll be you two, but I know we're going to get another two next Wednesday, part of our Wildcat Wednesday here. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Sam.
This is the Mighty 690 KGGF.